Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. I'm your host, Lori Ness, a soldier on the front line of the mainstream. You can listen to this and other shows at northwestprime.com, and be sure to stay with Seattle Wave Radio 24/7, 365 for more great music and interviews. We're starting a movement of kindness, and we want you to join us. Let's get this show started.
Helena Hunting is known in the fan fiction world as a BNA, big name author. But her story, Clip Wings, garnered a big-time publishing deal with Simon & Schuster, a legion of adoring fans, and love and support from other BNAs such as E.L. James. But first, before we get into all of that, we're going to solve the great social media and internet mystery everyone's been wondering and talking about, and that is it Helena or Helena? So what is it?
It's Helena.
It's Helena. Yay, I had it right. Strike one for me.
Good job.
It's Helena Hunting.
So it is Helena Hunting, yeah.
Welcome, okay. Helena, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start kind of just at the beginning. You were writing before you kind of started dabbling in fan fiction, is that right, but just hadn't been published?
Yeah, I was. I've always written. I mean, that has definitely been something that I've enjoyed doing, but never seriously. It was always a hobby. It was always just something I did in my spare time or just as something to do for fun. And I didn't really share it with anyone until I started posting online on fan fiction.
Well, and you had a big response to was it Clipped Wings? Was it called Clipped Wings? See, I wasn't in the fan fiction realm. I wasn't even a big reader. I kind of came along with millions of other people that kind of came on with the 50 Shades craze, and it really introduced me back into reading.
Yeah, 50 Shades has taken the world by storm for sure. It was called Clipped Wings and Inked Armor, so now it is broken into two books. Clipped Wings is book one and Inked Armor is book two. So when I posted it online, it was all one story, and it was extremely long. It was 430,000 words, and so when we started editing, we took it took some time to streamline it and cut out about 200,000 words.
Wow, almost half.
Yes, yeah, definitely, about half. I think in fan fiction, when you're posting every other week, or which was about how often I posted with Clipped Wings and Inked Armor, you can have, as a serial, you can have some repetition. Just you're reminding your readers what was in the last chapter. There might be a little bit of overlap just to help them get up to speed as to where they were. But when you're editing for print, it's very different, and all that repetition and some of the pieces of the story that I kind of pants my way through were streamlined, I guess.
Mm-hmm. When were you aware that you had a very popular story? When did that kind of hit you that, hey, this is, you know, bigger than a few friends reading it?
I guess I remember when I posted chapter 6, and there were 42 chapters in the original story, and I posted chapter 6, and I had like 100 reviews, and I was so excited. People are reading my story. I was so exciting. And then it just snowballed, and then it became 100, became 1,000, became 10,000, became it, so it was, it just, all of a sudden, there were a lot more people reading it and a lot more people talking about it, and that point came, and just sort of I looked at what I was doing and thought, oh, maybe people like it a little more than I thought they were going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is how big that some of these stories were. Your story, 50 Shades, I think there was a couple of them that were really big. A few years ago.
There were
so big that you guys were on Google alerts and chapter alerts. And when you would post a chapter, just to kind of give everybody a feeling, but when you would post a chapter, people who were at work, they would go into the bathroom. They would take a break and go in the bathroom and read it. If they were on the side of the road, they would pull over and read it. If they were shopping somewhere, they would pull over and read it. So that's, I mean, and this was kind of going on around the world. So, I mean, when you say that, you know, 10,000, you know, 100,000 people read it, I mean, it was really a phenomenon kind of happening at this ground level of support.
It was so interesting. It was such an interesting phenomenon, and I think it really validates you as a writer, because all of a sudden, and you're getting all this instant feedback. That's the really nice thing about having posted online was the instantaneous feedback. People could sign into their account and send you a review or tell you how they felt about the chapter or tell you what they liked or who they're angry at, or, and it was so amazing to have that and to have such an outpouring of support, and definitely it was, you know, there were funny moments where people would tweet at me or send me a review saying, oh, I just hid in my office for an hour so I could read the chapter, and they weren't short either. Like, the chapters were about 10,000 words each, which in on paper is about 40 pages. So so people were, you know, shirking their responsibilities in lieu of reading, which, you know, reading is fantastic. So.
Well, yeah, that is just how big it was. I've had numerous people tell me that because they would really never know when a chapter was going to be posted. And so they would get an alert on it. And if they were at work or they were at the store or whatever, they would stop what they were doing and they would, because in fan fiction, things are released like one chapter at a time. So they would get chapter, and then they'd have to wait for you to write another chapter. And then whenever it got done, then you would post it. And that could be any time. It's not a scheduled time, right?
No, it wasn't. Not for Clipped Wings and Inked Armor. I posted another story after that, and there was a schedule for it. So people, every Wednesday I posted a chapter. But that wasn't how it worked for Clipped Wings and Inked Armor. It was very much as soon as I was done a chapter, I would send it to my betas, and my betas would edit it, and I'd give it another read-through, and then up it went. So it was really raw, right? It's a raw form of writing because you're finishing a chapter, up it goes, and on alert, and drop everything and leave.
It was really, I mean, it really blew my mind when I heard all of this stuff that was going on in fan fiction. And, I mean, it wasn't just semi-popular. It was huge, I guess. I'm just trying to paint a picture for people who don't know how huge that, I mean, if you can even wrap your brain around it, people, you know, pulling off on the side of freeways to read, people going in the bathroom, people, you know, stopping what they were doing, wherever they were doing, and running to wherever to be able to read. So it's just absolutely phenomenal. So then that evolved into a publishing deal, which is really no surprise based on the popularity of it. Where were you when you got the notification that Simon & Schuster was actually going to publish Clipped Wings?
So it was quite a process, and it was quite a process. I started out, it was very interesting. So what happened was I was approached by an indie publisher, and I hadn't even looked at the Clipped Wings and Inked Armor manuscript since I finished it. So at 430,000 words, it was a huge, daunting task to edit. And so I put it aside, and I started editing something else, and I worked on that. And then all of a sudden, there was some interest, and then there was some more interest because a number of authors' BNAs were being picked up by large publishing houses. And for some reason, my name got thrown in there, and someone approached me, and then I started looking at what needed to be done. And by the time Simon & Schuster came around and said they wanted it, I had edited that story down to half its length and cut it into two books. So it was a lot of time and energy and really hard work, but totally worth it in the end because it is the story I wanted it to be now.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you get a publishing deal from someone like Simon & Schuster, does life become all country clubs, private jets, and champagne, or how radical does your life change or not?
I think there's no country clubs. I live a very normal life that is very busy. I still have another job that I work full-time. And I edit my novels and get all that stuff done on the side. So,
so you have two jobs now.
I do. It would be really lovely if at some point it could turn into just one. That would be absolutely wonderful. But in the meantime, this is quite an experience. It's been very, very, everything was very fast with Simon & Schuster. It was a push to get it out and on the shelves, which was lovely because, I mean, what a wonderful thing to see is your book on the shelf.
Absolutely.
It's been a whirlwind. It's been absolutely, but a phenomenal one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's tell everyone about Clipped Wings, which came out on the 13th of March for those who didn't get to read it in fan fiction like myself. I read it, well, reading is such a strong word. I listened to it on audiobook. It was the first audiobook I'd listened to in about a year. I listened to Crusher by Niall Leonard last year when it came out, and then I just went back to book form. But then I had some credits because I joined that audible.com, and yours came out, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to this. And Lisa, who we're going to bring on from Fix to Flix, is a huge Audible champion, and she's always she reads everything on audiobook, so she was encouraging me to read on audiobook. So I got it on audiobook. And so, but Cupcakes and Ink came out in February, and it was like a little prequel or a novella. And all of these terms I didn't know prior to really getting into the fan fiction author world and the new world of writing novellas and prequels and, you know, POVs. I didn't know anything about POVs in writing before that. So, Clipped Wings came out in March, and then Inked Armor, the second part of that, comes out May 8th. Now, in Clipped Wings, there's you write from both the male and the female point of view telling the story back and forth, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I love Jason Carpenter's voice for Hayden on the audiobooks. I think it's absolutely perfect. I did. I wrote it from both point of view. I thought it was really important for the story to hear both sides at different points. Both of these characters are highly traumatized from events beyond their control. And it really is a story about survival and overcoming serious obstacles that shape our lives. I think when people experience tragedy, it changes them, absolutely. I think it rewires your brain in some kind of way, and it shapes your perception of the world and changes that. And I really wanted to explore how two people with very different but very traumatic paths could come together and kind of find their way through life with each other. So that's what Clifton's about, I guess.
So, well, Hayden and Tinsley, those are the characters' names, the male and female. Mm-hmm. Are they based on anyone that you knew of in life? Did you kind of pattern them after people, or were they just strictly made-up characters out of your imagination?
I don't know that they were patterned after specific people, but there were a couple of events that occurred or that I heard about in the media that really stuck with me and resonated. There was a wedding that took place in a temple, and I can't remember where it was, but there were 600 people in this building when it collapsed. And just the idea of surviving that Obviously the trauma that Tenley and Hayden experienced isn't quite on that scale, but the idea of surviving that and then moving forward with life was really what I wanted to explore, and how someone coming out of deep trauma would be able to find another person who would be able to understand kind of where they were at and what they've been through, and would be able to, I guess, move forward with that person. There's no one I know who, thankfully, who's been through anything like what I put my character through. But I really loved the idea of Hayden Stryker as a tattoo artist, because I think it's such an interesting profession. And he really is an artist in the truest sense of the word, because he's very committed to the artistry of tattooing, and it is quite beautiful. And it's being able to put art on someone on a three-dimensional canvas is such a talent, and I think that I just really wanted to explore that.
Do you have tattoos?
I do, yeah. They're nothing like anything that I've written about. Definitely nothing that dark. I mean, both Henley and Hayden have some pretty dark tattoos. And none of them are that big, because I don't know that I could handle sitting in a chair under a needle for that long. But maybe I could if it was Hayden Stryker tattooing me. If anyone finds him in real life, you can just send him my way, and then I will have a full back piece in a heartbeat. I have a few. There's a piece that I really want to get, but the artists that I love are in the UK, and so I need to find one in the Toronto area that can put that piece on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they having a tattoo it's a life experience for sure. I happen to have one. I've talked about this numerous times from a drunken girls weekend in Vegas, and I didn't really understand the pain involved in getting a tattoo. So there were seven of us, and we. All someone was going to go first, and obviously 1 through 7. Well, the first person who went, she was like bawling like a baby. I had picked out something else, but when I saw her, I went back to the board and I picked something smaller, because I thought, heck no, I'm not going to go through all of that. But I do remember that the tattoo artist was very good looking. He was a very good looking guy, but he took his job very seriously. And here we were, seven, moms on a weekend in Vegas, and, one's crying and one's, panicking, and, we're typical ding-dong girls. And there was some things about Hayden that reminded me about that particular guy. I can't really remember his face anymore, but I do remember he was good-looking. But Hayden took his job so seriously, a lot like you were saying, that he was a real artist. And here we came in just wanting tattoos, for a good time on the weekend. I remember him just being really serious and probably thinking, I can't wait to get these seven women out of here.
Or maybe he had a great time with you. Who knows? But don't you want to kind of go back now and find out?
I'd like to go back and get another tattoo. I don't know that I want to see him because I'm sure he doesn't remember me, but I remember the experience very well. But I would like to go back and get a tattoo that actually means something now, instead of just going with the panic tattoo at that time. But he was very nice to us, and we had a really good time. But next time, I think I'd like to, maybe put a little more thought into what I was doing. But I do enjoy it. I kind of forget it's there. It's on my hip, and when I get out of the shower, I'll catch it sometimes in the mirror, and I'll go, oh my gosh, what's on me? And I'll go, oh yeah, it's my tattoo. Like,
mine are
following me, but it's just my butt.
But no, it's just your tattoo. It's just hanging out on your hip. Mine are all on my back, so I don't actually I don't get to see them. So unless I look at myself in the mirror from behind, mm-hmm. which is awkward to do. I'd love to get another piece, and a slightly more expensive one. But that would be some time and some research, and I'm very picky and about stuff like that. So it would have to be an artist that I would have the kind of, you know, relationship with where you can talk about the art and you can run ideas and get a really beautiful sketch made. So one day, I hope so. Maybe in the next few years, I'd like to get another one.
Well, I think that's good advice for everybody. Just, you know, find an artist that you can kind of relate to and that understands and look at their work for one thing, and because it's going to go on your body and you want to make sure that they do good work. And if there is somebody like Hayden Stryker, I mean, the line would be very, very long because he is just the epitome of who you would want tattooing you. And our bodies would probably be filled with tattoos if Hayden really existed, because we would just all stand in line and go back and get in line again for another tattoo, because he's good looking and he's just a really good guy. But like you said, he's damaged. Now, I've had to stop at the end of Clip Wings. I have to wait for Inked Armor to come out, which doesn't come out until May 8th. And is that the final chapter, or will there be another book after that?
So Inked Armor is the second half of their story. So you will get a resolution at the end of Inked Armor. So I won't leave you hanging again, I promise.
Okay.
Yes. So, and it's May 8th. In the UK that it's releasing, and May 13th in the US.
Oh, okay. May 13th.
Yeah.
And then in June, Cracks in the Armor come out. What's that?
I'm excited about Cracks in the Armor. I'm excited about Inked Armor as well. I love that story. Inked Armor is Hayden's story, really. So you'll hear a lot more about his past and how he kind of comes through this whole piece with Henley and what happens between them. But Cracks in the Armor is another novella. So just like Cupcakes and Ink is a novella, for those of you who maybe don't know what a novella is, it's like a short story. So Cracks in the Armor is about Chris and Sarah, and it's told from both of their points of view. And so we get to see and explore a little bit of their relationship. And hopefully in the future, I'll be able to share more of them after Cracks in the Armor comes out.
Well, I wanted to ask you, how many books do you have in you, do you think? Because I'm sure you have all these people who really love and adore you, that just really follow you on Twitter, and I'm sure, you know, probably on Facebook and different, you know, avenues. But and I'm sure they expect you to keep writing. Is there more books, you know, in you?
Oh, definitely. I think there's an endless supply of characters in my head that I would love to put into worlds. Right now I have another manuscript. It was the one that I had been working on right before Clip Wings. That's done, and a little bit of tweaking now that I haven't looked at it for a while, because that's what I think writers do, just tweak until we are told we're not allowed to anymore. And then I have another story that I posted on fan fiction that is really the antithesis of Clip Wings and Inked Armor. Clip Wings and Inked Armor is really, really angsty. It's a heavy story with lots of emotions. And this other story that I wrote, Misapprehension, is just ridiculous. It's humor. It's about a hockey player, and it's silly, and it was tons of fun to write.
Oh, I bet. I love hockey. That would be good. But I really like Clip Wings, too, so I'm really dying for Inked Armor to come out, because I like a good romance. I like resolution, and I like being romanced through books, you know, so to speak. And your book so far has absolutely 100% done that for me, which I'm not surprised, because there wouldn't have been all of this support from the fandom coming had they not liked it, because they are very picky and very vocal, and if they don't like it, they won't support it. And this, they were 100% behind, and people had been after me for a long time to read it. And I absolutely must thank everybody who recommended it, because they were 100% spot on, and I recommend it now to other people. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring Lisa from Fix to Flix on, and she has some questions, and she's going to be representing the fandom. And I want to thank Kit and Lisa for doing everything they could do to support the show and get it out to the fans through social media, as well as the girls at 50 Shades Film, and everyone really who tweeted and spread the word about Helena Hunting coming on this show, because you do have such a wonderful support base out there in Twitter land and other places in fan fiction. I'm sure you're just very, very well loved, and I support and I appreciate all the support that everybody gave us. So we're going to be right back with Lisa, and we're going to continue our talk with Helena Hunting. So hold on.
Love is like a bomb, baby, come and get it on. Living like a lover with a red iPhone. Looking like a tramp, like a video vamp. Demolition woman, can I be a man?
Come on, find me.
friends. We have a brand new sponsor, Audible.com. You can go to audible.com/Northwest Prime and sign up for a free download and choose from thousands and thousands of best-selling and new release books. You can also exchange a book anytime, no questions asked. We all lead busy lives, but we can download this free Audible.com app to our Android, our iPhone, iPad, Windows, Kindle Fire, you name it. It's easy to take with you on the go, whether you're working out, in the car, cooking at home, on the way to visit a friend, however you want, you can stay up to date with the greatest books in the world through this wonderful library. I recently chose Crusher by Niall Leonard. This mystery crime drama was filled with action. It was like I was watching a movie. The narrator spoke in an English accent, and I just felt like I was right there in London town. If you choose to stay with Audible, it's only $14.95 a month, and you can cancel at any time. At least check it out. It's free. See if it's for you. Tell them Northwest Prime sent you. That's audible.com/Northwest Prime, and get to reading when it works for you.
Well, as you know, I read Clip Weans through audible.com because Lisa has been pushing me for years and years. I've actually read two books now on Audible. It's really not reading. It's more like listening to books. But it's actually really great because I, like, did my housework because it was, like, downloaded into my phone, and I just put my earphones on, and I, like, clean the house and listen to Clip Weans and cupcakes and, you know, tattoos and sex. And oh, that was a bad man. I'll tell you, I got my housework done. Lickety-split. But we have a question coming in, so I wanted to ask you, Helena, from Vanessa. She wants to know that she had to Google some of your piercing terms, and is this a world that you are familiar with?
Well, that's
a and we know which one she's talking about, right?
Yeah, I do know which one she's talking about. You know, I am going to have a hard time responding truthfully to that question. I think I did a lot of research on piercings when I wrote Clipped Wings and Inked Armor because I wanted to pick all the right ones, right? And you know, I'm like most women, I'm going to talk around this question. Like most women, I have my ears pierced. I had an industrial, but I won't tell you the story about my industrial piercing. But
that's the one we want to hear.
No, you don't. You want to hear about my industrial. That's in my ear. That's not important. But the abadabra, that's what we're talking about, the abba. So I clearly can't have one because I am not a guy. However, I did a lot of research on what ones are the most rewarding, and this one made the most sense, right? And I just before we came on back on air, we were talking about how people wiki this stuff or look it up. And so I had this conversation with my mom, and I said, don't read the book. And she said she was going to read the book, and I warned her again not to do it. And then I also warned her not to wiki the things she didn't know about, because there are images that come with them, very clear images that accompany those piercings.
Vanessa's laughing.
I'm hoping she didn't. Yeah. I'm hoping she didn't wiki them. But yeah, so I did lots of research.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, I think it does. It says it was the Vanessa says it was the industrial she had to look up. I will say from my end, my husband passed out when we were getting our blood test. Back when I was, you know, a young girl, you had to actually have a blood test to get married. Now you can marry whoever. But back in the olden days, you had to have a blood test. My husband passed out. So right then I knew, like, there was going to be, like, no piercings, no tattoos, no nothing for him. He's just, you know, and he's a pretty manly guy. I mean, you know, he's you know, in the reserves, and he flies all over the world doing manly things for the military. Let this be something to Al-Qaeda. If you ever capture my husband, all you have to do is show him a needle. He'll pass out or tell you everything he knows. Because an industrial or whatever else is going on with Hayden is not happening in my world. So I can only read about it. So thank you, Helena, for doing all the research for me.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Too funny.
Thanks
for having me on the show again, guys. And I was glad you cleared that up, too. I don't know how many times Laura and I talked, and we would be, I don't know, is it Helena? So we were glad to get that. I found those guys when you were off there that I had my little notes here that, you know, Kit helped me get some questions together, and we've gotten some stuff from followers, but you asked like 50% of them, so we still have some. Well, you know, we touched on, you know, obviously we know that you came from Twilight fan fiction, and that whole transition from going from fanfic to mainstream, and you mentioned, you know, about that you had to streamline it in the editing process because it was so long. I mean, can you, like, people that read it as fan fiction, I mean, we hear that a lot where they're like, they're so worried that story that they loved is not going to, you know, transition over and be the same story. Read it now, I mean, I think that, you know, that's not the case. I mean, there has been where I've read one where it was like it was cut up so much that it was like, it kind of felt like the heart was gone. But I can definitely vouch for the fact that didn't happen with yours. Was it hard to let go of some of that, though, or what do you think that fans will notice the difference the most?
There's a huge theme that was in the original draft that is like cut completely, and there's a whole part where Tenley ends up in the hospital because of some events that happen, and this whole chunk, it's like 40,000 words, but I mean I cut 200,000, so you know, in the scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. But I think cutting that part was hard but necessary because these two characters are already so traumatized, and if you add any more traumas in their lives, they're going to just end up in a psych ward, and that's going to be the end of it. So something just kind of needed to go. There was fear, of course, that I was going to alienate my original audience with the new version of the book. But at the same time, it was so long, and so many things just needed to be restructured. So I spent a long time with one of my friends and a very wonderful, helpful editing. She's just a magic, Alex. And she and I went through and we did, probably took me a month, to create a brand new outline for both stories so I could take all the pieces that I really love of the story and keep them, and then take out and cut out all the stuff that really wasn't moving anything forward anymore.
Why do you think, Helena, that we women like to read about bad boys so much?
Because we just generally don't marry them? I don't know.
Because we don't, right?
No, we
don't marry bad boys when push comes to shove.
No, I think that's true. I think, maybe some people do. But I think bad boys, or Hayden Stryker is the illusion of a bad boy. Well, I mean, he has a pretty dodgy past, and he's done some things that, you know, most of us haven't. But underneath all of that, he really is a good person. It's the external appearance, I guess, versus what is really on the inside. So when I look at Hayden, projects an image because of how he looks, because he deviates from the norm. And I think it's the deviation from the norm that makes him so alluring. And then underneath that is this very tortured, tormented person who's very sensitive and very intelligent and really very kind. And I think that So the idea of the bad boy, but then it's underneath it all. He's really not that bad.
That's exactly the word I would want for too. I don't like to think of him as a bad boy as much as tortured. And a bad boy comes like judging a book by the cover because of all his ink and the piercings and stuff. So there's a reason that obviously he has that, and that's why people should read it. But he's very much a tortured soul. I think that's also appealing to a reader because, you know, not that you want to fix them, but you definitely want to help them get to that point. And she's just as tortured as him, so you've got, you know, them both to get through. But that was one of the things too. Lori and I talked about when I was talking to her about reading it, you know, because angst is a big word in the fandom too. That, you know, I was always reluctant. I don't like to not have a happily ever after, or it's really angsty, and you know, so some things are really tough to read, and I kind of shy away from those. And that's what Lori was going to get in New York. She's like, oh gosh, she was like emailing. Please tell me, you know. So, but it sounds like, you know, if you took out that one theme that you touched on, which I didn't know how much we wanted to give away, but you know, that did lead to some of the angst. So, I mean, it's still angsty, but there's still a lot of beauty in their story.
That one piece came out, but I think it's still an angsty story. I don't think you can have two people with such tormented past not have angst, right? Because you're fighting to create a new life out of a world that just in a lot of ways will never be the same because of the experiences that both of them have gone through. But I think in finding each other and in being able to learn how to live with their losses. It's the overcoming that I think is so important.
Well, and there's some light moments in the story, which you're really good at kind of keeping us on this, you know, emotional kind of a roller coaster. Just when we think we can't take it anymore, you kind of lighten up on us, and then we kind of, you know, coast for a little while, and then you kind of bring us back up, and then, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, what's going to happen? And then you kind of, you know, let us coast again and you know, have a little bit of joy, and which, you know, makes for a great book. I wanted to kind of touch on the fact that how the cupcakes, because, you know, the name of the first book is we've kind of talked on the ink portion of it, but there's a cupcake portion to this too, and you wouldn't normally think of tattoos and cupcakes all kind of in one world.
No, you normally wouldn't. They don't really seem to go. They shouldn't, I guess, in essence, go together. But in terms of Hayden is such an intense character. Just everything is all or nothing. He's in 100%, and he's kind of an overwhelming guy. And he has this ridiculous affinity for cupcakes. He's like a kid. He can't control himself when it comes to cupcakes, or Tenley, really, which is, you know, we learn this as we go through the story. He just doesn't have a whole lot of control when it comes to those two things. And I think the story needed, because it's such a heavy story at times, needed some comic relief, and those cupcakes can provide it because he's just so silly about it.
What's your favorite cupcake?
Mine?
And the kitten.
And TK is very important character in that story. My favorite cupcake? That's hard. I'm not a big chocolate cupcake fan. I'll take anything with vanilla or like a mango or strawberry icing, or I love cupcakes. They're good. I don't know. There's this place in Toronto, and it's got this I do cupcakes, and it's got the best buttercream icing I've ever had, and it has coconut in it, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
No, it's
not
good.
Cupcakes. It is.
Well, do your fans bring you cupcakes?
No one has sent me cupcakes in the mail. However, I do have a friend named Tracy who, I adore. She's absolutely lovely. And every once in a while, especially on my birthday, she'll send me cupcake-inspired stuff. So I have cupcake notebooks, and mm-hmm. I have a cupcake apron, and I have cupcake dental floss, and just all sorts of super fun cupcake stuff. I like cupcake stuff.
Does your husband now try to seduce you with cupcakes?
I think it would be the other way around. I would be the one doing that. He doesn't bring cupcakes home very often. But then I'm picky, so sometimes it'll just be me making them.
I'll throw it over to you, Lisa.
Okay. I'm crossing off questions as we go. Cupcakes was one. Well, I know part of this we touched on in when we thanks again for letting us interview you for the blog when we were doing the blog post. But I always find it fascinating because I do some graphic design, the whole cover process. And your covers are so striking. I mean, they just, they stand out. They don't look like anything else on my shelf. And you want to talk about that and that whole process and how those came about?
Sure. I would love to. And thank you for interviewing me for your blog. I was mm-hmm. honored, and I'm just so pleased that you're here on the show with me. So when we were doing cover design, or we started talking about cover design, I had some very specific ideas about what I did not want. But you have to really go into it with an open mind. And Simon & Schuster just such a phenomenal job taking the 3 pages of notes I made on cover art. And my agent, though, talked to me, Brooke Sherman, and said, you need to cut that down. And so I did, because he told me to. And so they went in with like a page of ideas and stuff and kind of what I had visualized. And I'm by no means artistic, like I can draw stick men. So I had no real good drawing capacity to kind of show them what I would like, but I found some Spectre art wings online, and they kind of sent those to my editor and said, I think these are really cool, and is there something we could do? And then really Simon & Schuster ran with it, and they just created mm-hmm. these beautiful covers. And I think I really love how they're almost negatives of each other. They're an inverse, Clipped Wings and Eight Armor. The background in Clipped Wings is very dark, and the wings are very bright and almost like they're on fire, which is kind of, when mm-hmm. when we hear about Tenley's tattoo, it's very much
right.
like wings on right. fire. And then the Inked Armor being, the light in the background, the it's almost like a sunrise or sunset, and these very dark wings just kind of as we look through Hayden's story and how he kind of manages to get past his own past so that he and Tenley can find
together. I'm holding, I got the wings in my hand, because a lot of the books are glossy, and this is more, he's got like a textury feel to it, which is just, there's just something, I don't know, just makes it a little grittier, which just really works for the story. I really like the way they turned out.
It's a matte cover, and it has that painted feeling.
Yep.
It's very artistic, and I love what they've done with it. And I love the back of the book too. I think that they just
gorgeous
work on the back.
It really is.
And Inked Armor is really nice. So
that's, even though I know with the people that with the audiobooks, which we talked about, I mean, I'm just an audiobook addict, and I can't hardly read anymore now that I do the audiobooks, but I will still, there's just books I have to have, for my, that's why I have these too. So we got the arts, which were great, but I still wanted to get the hard copy to have in my stash. So it's just a beautiful cover.
I love them. I think they're going to look pretty side by side.
Yes, very much so. Another thing, too, you know, with the names, I know we talked about with having to change names. What were the significance? Mm-hmm. I mean, how did you go about picking Hayden and Tenley?
I liked the intensity of Hayden's name because Stryker is really hard name, and it kind of encapsulates who he is as a person, right? I think he is, his exterior is very harsh. He comes off as very hard and closed off and not approachable. And so I think his name is really a reflection of that. And Tenley, I liked the name. I thought it was different. And she's such a her circumstances are so unique. Her situation and is just unique. And I thought it was an interesting, kind of fun name to go with.
Yeah, that's why I always like to ask that question, to this idea. And I had truthfully never heard of it. And I think it's a very cool name. I could see people like, you know, people read that and like, ah. I mean, there's going to be some babies born that are be named Tenley. I just know it's just a cool name.
That would be really neat. That would be kind
of
cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about, speaking of Hayden, let's talk about your muse, Stephen James.
So I have to thank Midian Sosa from SMI Books for showing me Hayden Stryker, Stephen James. He's so beautiful and perfect for this character. He's just incredibly intense. He's got gorgeous tattoos. He's a mm-hmm. football player, or a soccer player if you're living in Canada and the U.S. And he is just stunning. Like, he's just a stunningly intense man. So, honestly, prior to him, I think I had this the phoenix design that Hayden has on his back. All I had was this absolutely gorgeous tattoo from a site called Chopper, Chopper mm-hmm. Tattoo, and it's their logo. It's gorgeous, gorgeous body with this absolutely beautiful design, and that was really all I had.
What was the name of the site?
Oh, Chopper Tattoo. Chopper Tattoo is this. So they have fantastic designs. So if you go online, you can check it out. Chopper Tattoo. It's at least the last time I checked, it's this fabulous phoenix, and there's a front and a back to it, so you can see the entire design. So this really it was when I was designing or writing Hayden's design for readers. That was what I envisioned. But I mean. Mm-hmm. Stephen James is just covered in ink, and he has just this in his back tattoo. His full back piece is phenomenal. His artist I don't know who his artist is, but he's amazing, or she, whoever this person is. That skull on his back is just absolutely stunning. The detail is so incredible, and it is very dark, and it is very gorgeous, and so too.
I mean, and you can see a progression in him, you know, the tats that he keeps adding, like even not the way he's done. He must have a high threshold of pain. I don't know how he gets, like, those ones on his back. You've never had any contact with him, have you, by chance? Or do you think he knows that he's just kind of synonymous right
now
with Hayden?
I'm not sure if he's aware that he's our poster boy for Hayden, but I'm very appreciative of all of the photography and his modeling career because there's lots of room for art very nice.
I would think with the way Google works these days, if he Googles himself at all, it's got to turn up because, you know, we all use him so much in our the graphic designs, or, you know, when it talks about the book or quotes from the book, he gets used a lot that way. Then you should get the girls from Love in Vegas to get him to show up for the convention you're going to.
Oh, my, I can't even.
They have a heart attack. They have all their connections with the models and stuff. Did you go to Love in Vegas the last one? Or is this your first one?
No. So this will be my first Love in Vegas this year in October on the 24th and 25th will be the first time I've ever been to Vegas, in fact.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is, I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And I'm bringing my husband with me. I said, you're coming. We're going to Vegas. It's going to be fun time. And, so this is going to be, and it will only be my second author signing conference because the first one will be RP, the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention. In May.
That's a big one too.
Yeah.
Manila.
Yeah. It is.
You'll
it
have
is.
A lot of your buddies are going to be there, aren't a lot of your.
All my peeps.
Yeah.
All my friends, they're all going to be there. I'm really excited because I get to, you know, I think the interesting part is you're part of an online community. And when I started posting in 2009, and so that's 5 years ago. So I have all these wonderful, amazing connections with these incredible women who I have, in quotes, known for 5 years, but most of us haven't had the opportunity to meet. So I get to meet some pretty amazing women. Like, I'll get to meet Deborah Anastasia. So really is the reason I started posting Quick Wings in the first place. She was the one who read the first two chapters and said, you should post this, and then I did. It's very exciting, and I'll get to meet Alice Clayton and Nina Vaughn and Bobby, who does my blog tours and PR for me, she's fabulous. I love her a bit.
We all love that.
She's amazing. So I feel really fortunate. I just feel really fortunate.
Well, the list is huge. Obviously, we know Eric is going to be there too, but. The list is just
so cool,
you know. Yeah, and she's gonna. Well, I think because isn't I want to say C, but Christina Hobbs. I think she's there too. I think she's on a panel and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's gonna be really
Kristen
fun
Lowe
for you. Cause, like
be
I
there.
Said, yeah, is Lowe gonna
Sarah
be there?
Sarah will be there. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Lowe isn't, but I know Christina's gonna be there. I get to. It's gonna be so cool. They're all on the bus tour. Right? Bells on Wheels. That's it. That looks like it's going to be what a whirlwind. That's going to be incredible. And Emma Chase is on that as well, and she's just such a lovely author. I'm excited to meet a lot of these women.
Have you met Erica before?
No, I haven't. I haven't had the honor, and she's such a lovely. You know, she's so lovely. And it'll be really nice if I get a chance to get close enough to say hello. She's going to be a busy lady, I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think there'll still be some overlap.
As are you.
Yeah.
We'll see. That would be nice. It's just going to be so nice to meet fellow authors and readers. It's going to be a great opportunity.
I have a couple of questions, Linda. I just want to read a couple of questions that came in. Someone wanted to know if you have any pre-writing rituals.
Pre-writing rituals. Cleaning. I need my space has to be organized, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's not. And I for the first time, I have my own actual writing office. And so I have bookshelves, and I have all my books from my peeps all on my shelves, which is really cool, and my own, which is kind of neat. And then I outline everything now. So one of the things that I learned after writing Cliff Wings and pantsing 430,000 words is that I can't do that. So everything is outlined on a whiteboard, and I have all my deadlines and all my ideas kind of in major themes all kind of written down. And I always have a glass of water, and I always have lip balm and gum.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's weird or normal, but that's part of my process. That's what I do.
That's interesting.
Music.
Music.
Oh,
what kind of music?
Um, depends on the chapter I'm writing. So there was, and unfortunately, this is probably one of the scenes that was cut from the original version, but there's chapter 17 from the original story. I listened to the, She Wants Revenge, the song Tear You Apart, like on repeat until I finished the chapter. So, but I have playlists. So right now I am obsessed with The Neighborhood. They're a UK band, and I love their music. It's fantastic. And then if I'm in a sappy mood, I'll listen to things like Christina Perry. But I listen to a lot of rock and some heavy stuff, and I like Tool, and I like The Cure when I'm feeling particularly, like after writing an emo chapter, I listen to the Disintegration album and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so music plays a huge role. It's very influential. In my writing process, definitely.
Hmm. Go ahead, Lisa.
Very cool. I don't know. Was it? I see that Vanessa, she posted the picture of Stephen James's back tattoo for people. She's all over.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Vanessa, for posting all that.
Another person had asked Kalina that, and they said in fan fiction you wrote under Hunter Hunting, and now that you've switched over publishing to Helena Hunting, are any three of those names actually a real name?
No. It's the answer to that. No. Hunter Hunting, so I don't know. I think when I started writing under Hunter Hunting, it was okay, I'm going to back it up a little bit. Right before I started Eclipse Wings, I was writing this story, and I got 200,000 words into it and realized it wasn't a standalone, and I hadn't plotted it out very well, and it was really huge, and it looked like it was going to be a series. And the main character's name was Hunter. So when I opened up my fanfic account, I just went with Hunter Hunting. And when I went to register a domain name, that was gone because it's all a bunch of hunters. That's domain name. So I needed to make some changes. So that was the conclusion I came to.
Ah. You know, I'm going to send you some music to a band called Ninth Floor Mannequin. And if you like Tool, you'll like Ninth Floor Mannequin. But we were talking about a little earlier about, you know, how you have to have these huge shifts sometimes in your life, you know, something tragic. Jared, he writes jingles in for his, you know, to make money, but his band, Ninth Floor Mannequin, I mean, it's really incredible what they do, but he was in a, he was just on the show a couple weeks, I'll just go through this real quick, but he was hit by a drunk driver on heroin, almost killed. He was in a coma for like 3 months. And he almost died, but it cleared his mind. When he came out, he wrote this amazing, mind-blowing music, and you can find it on Ninth Floor Mannequin. And it came out of this tragic, but, I mean, where he went to on this whole album really tells a whole story, but it's really deep in it. And if you like Tool, and there's obviously a lot of people who really like Tool, then you'll really get Ninth Floor Mannequin. So I definitely want to send you their music because I think you would get it and enjoy it. Jared's just a
that would be awesome.
Guy. And he lives in Staten Island, so not very far from you.
Oh, very cool. Well, I love new bands and I love new music, and it's always exciting when I find a new one that I like. I tend to be the kind of person who, if I really like it, I'll listen to the album on repeat until I know all the words, and then I sing them in my car. But not for other people to hear.
I know how that is.
Yeah. My own private show. I don't. No one else needs to hear that.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I just you talking about setting up your fans. Account, was Twilight your first experience with the fandom, that kind of writing, or did you read other fan fiction?
Honestly, I had never heard of fan fiction until I found the Twilight fandom.
Me either.
absolutely unheard. I had no idea it even existed. So what had happened is I finished reading the Twilight stories, and then I heard that they're about Midnight Sun, right, which is Twilight from Edward's point of view. And so I went online looking for this, right, and then found out that somebody had accidentally leaked it and that, you know, she wasn't going to finish it. But the first, like, 13 chapters were up, and then I was so disappointed because it was, like, it ended right before, like, really good stuff happened.
Kit, my co-editor, that's her. She was just devastated. That was her favorite. I mean, there's a lot of people that was like so disappointing.
I don't know if maybe that was a reason why so many of us gravitated towards it. I don't know. That story really, it's that first love, right? It's how intense those feelings are, and it's the intensity of falling in love with somebody for the first time and what that's like and how vulnerable it makes you as a person, right? So, so then I all of a sudden I stumbled upon, like, another website, and then I saw Twilighted, and then I found this Twilight fan fiction, and then I started reading it, and there were all these amazing authors out there who had these really cool stories that had really nothing at all to do.
No.
Twilight was famous there. And they were just awesome. And some of them were, you know, really steamy. And, that's kind of how that happened. And I don't know if people go looking for fan fiction, but I just kind of fell into it, right? It wasn't something that I didn't even notice this prior to.
I think you're probably right. I think, well, that's because, you know, like you're going to get to meet with the authors and people that you've gotten to know over the last 5 years. I mean, that's the same thing, like, with Kit. We had personal blogs, and, you know, you find each other through Man of Ours, happens to be Twilight. But it's just such a community. I think I was telling Lori, I would assume that, were you in on writing forums with some of those guys? Because I know they did a lot of word chats, and, you know, that built all the relationships, too.
So I think and there are, you know, a number of women who were writers and used to do, they're called WCs. I can't remember what the name of them is. But, like, you take an hour and you write as much as you can in an hour. And we'd all jump online and get on there and encourage each other to write. And it was just such a great community in that you have these other authors who are doing exactly the same thing as you, and they have lives outside of this, and most of the people in it have no idea that they're writing fan fiction. And you have this community of people who are really quite generous and giving and caring, and who all support each other. And it was very cool to experience that.
Oh, I think, and then, like I said, we had that from a leader standpoint, and I knew that was going on from the writer's standpoint, too, because I haven't gotten to know some other authors, but, you know, it's hard to explain to people. I was trying to explain that to Lori, too. You know, it's just this other, you know, world that you guys live in, and people are so, I mean, there's always going to be the few that are out there, just like anything, but overall, it's just such a, it's just a family experience. It becomes this community, and you can't wait to meet people on it. I've met people, you know, traveling, been to Forks and whatnot, and just like now you with your conventions. It's going to be, and you'll find that even though you haven't, you know, somebody that people in real life will say, how can I be your friend, you know, it'll be like you had known forever. You know, you'll just pick up right where you left off in conversation. It's just the most rewarding experience. It's just been, you know, it's been great. I envy you getting to do that with all those guys. You're going to have a blast.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. It's just so nice to finally be able to meet these people who have really supported me, and I've had the opportunity to support them, and we've all kind of, you know, watched all of these wonderful things happen for fellow authors. Just watching people have these amazing careers and doing these wonderful things and writing these fabulous books and being recognized for it. And I think that's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
We couldn't even make that up, really. If you were telling a story, like, on the fan fiction community, like, if you were writing that, people would think it was totally fiction. So it's just another one of those examples of truth is stranger than fiction a lot of times.
Yeah,
it really and it's so true, isn't it? I think you just, until you are in that environment or in that community and have the opportunity to really experience some of the incredible generosity, like the fundraisers that went on and the amazing compilations with all these authors throwing in these stories to raise money for, you know, cancer and autism and it's just incredible.
Yeah, the tsunamis. We're talking thousands and thousands of dollars were raised for the Fandom Gives Back. I mean, it was just huge. Like new fans. I mean, it's just the beauty of being part of fandom. Just like, you know, we're on our 50 Shades side. I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't come from the Twilight community, and they've built this, you know, it's the 50 Shades fandom, and they're finding it. They're talking on Twitter to each other all the time, and you will get, you know, they'll meet up, you know, people from across the country and get together. And just like now with you too, I mean, there'll be people that as word gets out and more blogs are finding you and readers are finding you. I mean, you're building a new fan base in addition to your old fan base. And, you know, other fandom and a new fandom gets formed. It's another community. It's just a really cool experience. I mean, we didn't know going into blogging that there were so many book blogs, you know, but people, it's just another way of people to, with social media to get to know. I mean, you never would have known authors like that before now, you know, to be able to talk to them and meet them.
It's astounding, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's astounding. I think reading really brings people together, doesn't it? I think that's the sense that I get. It's reading. It's that connection that people have to the characters that are created and our ability now through social media to explore those connections and to have conversations about it in a way that maybe we wouldn't have been able to prior to social media being such a huge factor and getting the word out, right?
Right, and people like you, authors like you that are active on social media. I mean, it does go a long way. I mean, it takes time to do that to stay connected, but it means so much to readers, and it just builds that loyalty. So when you come out with another project, you know, people they'll want to jump on it, kind of a thing. So yeah, it's really, it's got way more positives to it than negatives, I think, as far as getting everybody's name out there.
Yeah, I think it's been my experience has been positive to this point.
Yeah.
So I think I'm quite pleased. Yeah, it's been really nice.
Well, Helena, thank you for coming on. I know that, you know, I told you 45 minutes and we doubled that time for you. We kept you on an hour and a half. We really wanted to get to know you a lot better and introduce more people to you. I really encourage people, if you haven't read Clip Wings yet, you really need to do it. You know, I'm not a huge reader, so it takes a lot to get me to read a book, and I super enjoy Clip Wings. I am waiting on Pins and Needles for May 8th to come out so I can read Inked Armor, and I don't know if I'll get that on audiobook or actually read that. I can have a love relationship now with books and audiobooks. It's going to be hard to choose, but in either event, I am going to read it. So it was really just a pleasure and an honor to get to know you better, and we've been talking on social media, but there's nothing like actually hearing your voice and getting to know your personality and really making that one-on-one connection. So I just can't thank you enough for coming on.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure. I've enjoyed this a lot. It was a lot of fun, and it was really nice to be invited out to talk today. So I appreciate the opportunity. And Lisa, it was really nice to chat with you too and to get some reader questions as
you
well.
You too. I wish Kit could have been here, and she would have loved to too. And again, we appreciate everything that you've interacted with us on the blog and with other bloggers, and getting your stuff out there and with the arcs and the giveaways. And we should touch on the giveaway too from 50 Shades Film. That's a big prize package.
And you can, you want to read it, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to 50shadesfilm.net, they're also on Sulia. Obviously, they're on Twitter, 50 Shades Film. But on the Clip LinkedIn Ink Armor Contest, and the grand prize winner will get autographed copy of Clipped Wings and Inked Armor, Clipped Wings and Inked Armor Vanilla Flavored Lip Balm, which is appropriate.
and now we know why.
Yeah.
There is.
which I have some on my desk right now, actually. Clipped Wings stickers, Clipped Wings and Inked Armor temporary tattoos, a special Clipped Wings bracelet, the Hayden Cupcake inspired treats, including cupcake flavored dental floss and cupcake. I saw you tweet that. That was funny. Flavored toothpaste.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, cupcake flavored toothpaste. And then there are four.
I will be sending real cupcakes.
Four. Can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. Four runner-up winners will receive autographed set of Clipped Wings and Inked Armor from Simon & Schuster, and two additional winners will receive cupcakes and ink and Clipped Wings ebooks. So lots of chances to win.
Wow.
You can, like I said, just 50shadesfilm.net or their 50 Shades Film on Twitter and get entered. Looks like, I'm not sure what the deadline is. There's 7 days left, so.
Great, great. Well, there's no excuse not to join Helena Hunton's fandom on this one, because they're giving a lot of stuff away. That is amazing. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Jackie and Christy, who run that, they're longtime fans too. So they've been very supportive, and I know that they're happy that you're doing the interview today. And we all wish you much success.
Oh, they're so lovely.
Success. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and thanks so much. And thanks to 50 Shades Film for hosting the giveaway. Just the support has been incredible, and I'm very humbled by it, and it's just been wonderful.
So that's 50shadesfilm.net, and then they can find out more about you, HelenaHunting.com, right?
That's right. HelenaHunting.com. That's right.
All right. Get to reading, people. I'll be right back.
Well, we kind of think it's something like everything's fine. We are having a good time, aren't we, Satan? Yes, we are. We'll be right back.
got to get inside.
Well, that's our show. We would like to thank our listeners, our guests, and, of course, our sponsor, Audible.com. We've included an easy one-click link to Audible.com where you can just go and browse and check out and see if catching up on your reading is right for you through an audiobook. The first book is free. Doesn't cost anything to check it out. So check it out. Get back with us. Let us know what you think. And be sure to also check out NorthwestPrime.com for this interview and other great interviews that we've had with numerous celebrities and other entertainers in the past. Thanks and have a great day.